quite unique here lately, not always in the good way, but it's been kind of an unusual situation. I've never had a bladder infection before. I sure got one this time. I don't know how I got that. But through that process, I ended up in the hospital again. I haven't been in the hospital so many times in all my life. And through that process, I was so weak I couldn't even hardly do anything. So they've got that taken care of. I'm in good shape. I'm back out. I just finally got enough strength to get up on the cart to come walking out because my knees are still bad. I've got new knees there. They just haven't manifested yet, but I will be walking without crutches. Eventually, I'll be on crutches before too long because I'm not going to stay down because God has things for me to do, and I'm not going to let the devil take over.
Yeah, that's right.
And he's having too much fun the way it is. So anyway, I've been, for those who don't know, I've already been healed of an incurable disease. I've also been, on a Sunday, I overheated in 93, and I ended up going to my boss says, you better go. He told me to go take a shower and go home, and then the next time I overheated, he says, you got to go to the doctor before you come back to work. Went there, and I got a stress test, and I was 30 to 50% blockage of my heart. So I had to go back in, and that was on the weekend, kind of Friday. So on Sunday, we were at another church at that time, and Debbie called two of our friends over, and they prayed for me, and as they're praying, I've seen in the spirit, and all of a sudden I've seen a heart come down. So I put it in my chest, and I went through the stress, and they said there's nothing wrong, and it's always been that way up to this point. So I've been healed. I'm not worried about not being healed because I can be healed. God's already proclaimed that and decreed it, and it's done. It's over. I just have to continue to keep pushing forward, and I guarantee you it will come to pass. So it's been different, so I've been out for a while, and I appreciate everybody that's been watching over and taking care of us here. That last bout in the hospital, the day before I left, the night before I left, I was listening to John, 1 John, and the Lord started to deal with me and started to talk to me about the church, this fellowship, what's going on, so on and so forth. And I've told some people what I need to say to what the Lord said. It's kind of a shocker. And I took and I says, okay, Lord, we'll make sure what you want, you get. Because that's what I said many years ago. This is the reason we're here. I'm sick and tired of Christians losing the victory. And are you all getting victory? Do you have victory over everything? Are you having the victory that God wants you to have? That's what it's about. And if we're not being able to help people get to that point of having that victory, then we're not doing what we're supposed to do, and God's not pleased with me. Because we need to get this thing flipped up and go in the right direction. So I took and I said, okay. And in fact, we had some music in our home. I had the board members there, and I had some music on our TV, and Sarah put them on YouTube, and turned out where we had a commercial in between the songs, in the middle of a good song, which we were right in the middle of it. And I'm thinking, what in the world is this? And all of a sudden, the Lord just kind of spoke to me real quietly and said, you've had a break. It's like you've been going, and now all of a sudden you had a break. Now you're going to start to take off and go again. So there's a time period of what the Lord's doing and what's happening, and he's really through this process of being down and out this last summer. I don't know what their summer went to because it's all gone. But because of that, I've learned and I've understood, and I'm starting to grab more of what the Lord's wanting to do. So anyway, as I was sitting there, I was thinking, Lord, I'm going to get back up on the cart and get going, and I didn't make it last Sunday because I couldn't get up on the cart. My knee was too bad to get up there, but I got there today. And as I was sitting there in the hospital thinking about this, he said, I want you to go back and tell them why I created the earth. A lot of you will know a lot of this stuff. A lot of you will understand what's going on. You can fill in the blanks. There's so much that I'm not putting out. It's a very basic understanding. It all came about one time I was sitting in my office, and I was talking to a person about a problem that he had. All of a sudden, we got through, and the Lord started to deal with me. He says, I want you to tell my people that I have a great plan for their lives. I had a great plan for their lives until it was changed. And I got to really thinking about that, and I start going down through here. You know, we have so much about doctrines. We have so much about religions. We have so much about denominations. We have so much about you got to do this, you got to do that, you got to go here, you got to go there, you got to blah, 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 blah. And I'm thinking, Lord, there's got to be a real simplistic, because I'm simplistic. I'm very simple. And, you know, because I'm simplistic, I don't get too far into a lot of the big stuff. You know, I can, but I don't want to. But and I can understand a lot of that stuff. It doesn't matter because I've got the ability through my gifting. But the whole process comes down to one thing. Why did God create the earth? Why did God create the earth? So I'm going to go down through here a little bit and talk a little bit about this. And I want you to see, it's just a general outline of a plan of what God's wanting in his plan for you and for this earth. God had a great plan for their lives, but it was changed. So people would know the truth. I'm going to talk a little bit about this. The Bible is a word of God given to men by the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit and the Spirit of God, it is for us to understand who God is and why we are here. Now, I first went down, and because of the outline that I'm going with, God is the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, and there was nothing until God created it. A lot of people says it was a Big Bang theory. God didn't create anything. Yes, he did. There was nothing until God created it. So you understand who God is. God is a spirit that has three parts. There's been an argument a lot of times about the Trinity of the Spirit, but God has three parts. He first is a Father, and God the Father. Father means creator. He creates everything. That's why when I learned about that, you know, there's just the Lord was showing me and understanding the Lord gave me that the Father means creator. He creates everything. Everything comes from him. God is a spirit. Has three parts. God, so that's the first part. The second part is, and also God sits on the throne in heaven. Sorry, I'm kind of really chopping around here. Forgive me. I'll get this straightened around here. God the Son is the Word of God. And God the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of God. That's the three different parts of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The Bible asked, who is the King of Glory? The Lord God Almighty. The heavens are for God, but the earth is for man. No, the heaven's for God. I messed that one up. And the earth is for man, has been given for men. Now, I heard a long time ago with Miles Monroe when he's talking about a kingdom, because we want to be in the kingdom understanding, and I can explain why more as we go along there. Kingdom, he says, all kings on this earth want more land. They always want to go. They're always fighting. They're always trying to gain more land. It's just something that's inside them. Well, God is a king, and everything that was created on this earth came from his understanding of a kingship, from his king understanding. That this is what we'll talk about as we go along here. But the whole thing was, he also wanted more land. He wanted something else. So here's nothing out there, and what happens is God takes, and he wanted to develop something that he could have, and have his people go along, man, I'm really blowing this one apart. I'm going to have to back down and start to go over. Father, in the name of Jesus, I come before you and I thank you. You've got this down. It's in my heart and in my mind, and I don't know what's stopping me or causing me to have this question or stumbling that's going along. And I just give you glory. I give you honor and I give you praise and everything. So, Father, give me the wisdom and knowledge and help me to straighten this thing out and make it make sense. In Ephesians 1, 3 through 5, blessed be the God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessing in heavenly places. Now, that's victory. How many people have all spiritual blessings? Anybody here that's having all the spiritual blessings you can have? You can't take any more? So your cup runneth over, you have to give it away? Anybody got that one yet? Well, we're working on that one. But see, God's blessed us with that. And what happened was, in 4 it says, according as he has chosen us from the in him before the foundation of the world, that he should be holy, or we should be holy and without fault before him in love. In other words, actually saying that he wanted us, he knew us. He had a complete plan, and when I've been studying that, Ephesians 1:3, I just really got in the presence of the Lord, and he says, I had everything set up from the very beginning. Now, people can argue and complain and go all kinds of different ways. That's fine. I'm just putting out a basic understanding from what the Word says. He knew us before we were born, and he wanted to bless us. He did not want to curse us. He did not just want us to go through all the problems that we've got going through. And when you start to understand God wants to bless you instead of curse you, and some people walk around like God curses them all the time. God doesn't love them, doesn't care for them. There's always problems. There's always situations. And this is what the Lord's trying to get through them. So one day I was reading Job, and this was New Living Testament. In the new NLV, it's the New Living Version. And in there, it was saying that what happened was God asked Job, because Job was having a lot of questions and kind of questioning God, and God came down and started to question him. You go back and read all that. But he said, where were you when I laid the footing to put the foundation on? And that footing grabbed a hold of me really strong, and I've done a big teaching on that. Been a while back here. The footing has to be laid before you put a foundation on, because without the foundation, it won't stand. And I said, wow, Lord, that's amazing. It just blew me away. And he says, go back to Genesis and start to look at 1 and 2. So I went back to Genesis, and it says, in the beginning, God created the heavens, the earth, and the earth was without void and form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the water. Immediately I started to see, and I started to pray, and the Holy Spirit is the foundation, or the footing. Christ was the foundation, but the Holy Spirit was the footing. And I started to realize that without the Holy Spirit, there's no life. The Holy Spirit is life. It brings life. That's what it's all about. God put life, the Holy Spirit, his Spirit, down in this void of nothing, and he spoke into it, and he brought it up. Why? Because he was thinking of you. Did you ever think of that? He created this earth just because of you? Each one of you. He loved us all. He wanted us to have all the blessings of heaven. But people don't see it that way. Religion destroys you, kind of buries you with all this junk on top of you. This is God's plan. Very simplistic. Very understandable if you go down through there. So he put that footing. God placed the Holy Spirit in the void, and there's nothing. God spoke into the Holy Spirit and brought life into the world. Everything you see in nature is from God speaking his word into the Holy Spirit. Everything that you see was God speaking into the Holy Spirit. Now, if you get a revelation of that, it says life and death is in the tongue. whatever you speak, you will eat. You know, you'll get the, you know, you'll reap the fruit of it. So what you're saying is, I went way back when, and I'm not going to get into it, but in your cells, there's a very little, the lowest, the inner part of your cells is a life. That's the Holy Spirit. It's the life that's inside you. And when you speak into it, they said that even scientists, it says when they were watching it, when the microscope, when you speak to it, it can move. It can watch you. It can follow you. But it will make a difference. That's why if you see a plant, you start talking nice to it, and it starts to change. There's life in it. God made that life in it. It came from God. You look at trees along the highway where there's noise, highway noise, and there's no barrier. Trees aren't as good as the other trees down the road. Why? Because of the noise. There's a voice. The volume, you know, the vibration is quite something. And that's just part of what's going on. But God needed somebody to take over the earth. So he put Lucifer, which was one of the archangels, which was a worshiper, to take over the earth. Well, because of his beauty and because of so much he had on this earth, he became prideful. And pride cometh before a fall. But the problem was he sinned against God because he came against God to raise himself. He says, I'm going to come up against you. And so there, I'll put it this way, go back. There was no iniquity found in Satan, Lucifer, until he came to this earth and he became prideful. Pride is a sin. Then what happened? He immediately went and tried to exalt himself above God and tried to overthrow him. Well, God sent the other two archangels down and cast him out of the earth and down beside the pits of hell. God did not make hell for people. He made hell for the demons, for Lucifer. Sorry, so many people have gone that way, but they shouldn't have because it was never designed for them. God never designed anybody to go to hell. But anyway, he took and then all of a sudden, so his plan, and you have to realize when Satan did that, he destroyed God's plan. So everything that he wanted is gone. So then all of a sudden he comes back. You see, God always wants to make, he always made a way out. I did a study on that. I started teaching a long time ago about it. God always makes a way out. No matter where you're at, no matter what you're doing, no matter what's happening, there is a way out. You have to find it. You have to pray about it. You have to see it. But God will give it to you. Everybody has a way out of every situation you're in. That's why I said, I'm going to be walking. I got a way out of what I'm doing here. I got a way out of being the way I am. I can change because God can change. He can help change things around and make it different. But you got to realize that what happened when sin comes in, and sin is disobedient to God, it separates you from God. It separates you from God. So God came in and he started anew. It's to complete his plan. This is again, to complete his plan. What is his plan? To bless you. To give you a good life. To make everything happy. To work well. So what happens is he comes and he decided, well, he still needs somebody to run the earth. So he created his children. And they were to rule over the earth for God. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit came down and made man in their image. Made man in their image. You've got to realize that we are in his image. So what happens, sometimes people understand, some people do not understand, but what happened was he made us three parts just like he's three parts. He made us body, soul, and spirit. Our body is where our soul lives. And our soul activates our body. That's the spiritual man. And I've kind of thrown that around with it being a spiritual man. Some people have had a little concern about what that is. That's the spiritual being inside of the Holy Spirit in us. It's our attributes that came directly from God. When God breathed into Adam's nostrils, immediately he gave you a soul, which came from him. It's the attributes that he wanted for you. And he also gave him your Holy Spirit. His Holy Spirit was upon Adam. and he gave him full authority over the Garden of Eden. And because he's a king, that made Adam a king. I didn't ever realize that Adam was a king and the Garden of Eden was the kingdom of God. That was really amazing. It was the kingdom of God. And I said, wow, I had no clue that was happening until I started studying and understanding the kingdom and how God works and what was happening. And he had a beautiful time all the way through until Satan came and tempted the female. Now, I want to say one thing about that. That's another thing that I learned, and that was Adam is both male and female. And women are beat up in the church. They've been put down, cast aside, said you're not worth much. You've got to be under the head of the men. But the thing is, if you realize God has an image, we are the image of God, both male and female. When they had Adam, God didn't go create another body and bring a female to Adam. He took half a container, the rib, out, took him over and made a body around that rib, which is a container, which is half of Adam, which is an attribute of the female. So he brought the body to, you know, the female to Adam. All the way through the time they were in the garden, male and female were called Adam. They were never, you know, we always heard of Eve. Well, I thought, you know, as soon as he brought it over, he says, oh, this is Eve, my wife. No, that was not it. Until after she took and was deceived and took of the fruit, and then all of a sudden Adam took of the fruit, and they sinned, and it separated them from God. Again, sin separates you from God. Boom, he's gone. That's why when God comes back, he says, where were you at? What's happening? Why are you naked? Well, they lost the glory of God that was on them. They lost the Holy Spirit. Then he said, my wife did. You know, this woman, the female, the woman you gave me did. He said, and he called him after that. He said, this is my wife, Eve. That was when that happened. That was, kind of blew me away when I first figured that one out. So during the time period, you have to realize today, women are called men. You know, in the Bible, it doesn't say anything about females or she's or anything. It's a male, and it's because God created us in His image, both male and female. And many women, I had some women that I've talked with, and they had a real problem with men because one lady I was talking with, and she just avoided me all the time, and I'm saying, did you have a problem with men as you grew up or something that had been affected you or something? And she says, yeah, my mother always had a bunch of boyfriends and they always hurt me and caused me problems. And I says, well, I says, then you have a hard time relating to God. And she says, yes, I do. I says, do you realize that God has female characteristics in him? And we always say him because he's a creator. But God is not a man that any should boast. So the fact is, what happens when he took and he went that way, guess what happened? You can relate to God and your female characteristics. You don't have to, you can go over it. So she changed, and the next thing you know, she had her mom and her dad, or her mom and her boyfriend, as her mom's boyfriend, all saved, and people were getting saved left and right because she was starting to relate to God through her own personality. For her, and see, there's women have really been beat up and pushed down in the church, and that's one thing we want to do here. We're not going to beat up women or cause any problems because, you know, we're all equal in God's eyes. We're all part of God's image. And that's another big thing. A lot of things come down to what happens. The enemy always tries to divide God. Destroy God. And one of the things he tries to destroy, if God's image is male and female according to Genesis, anytime you destroy that and try to say marriage is anything else other than male or female, that's the devil trying to destroy the image of God. He's destroying the image of God whenever that comes to pass. So everything that's going on, other than what is male or female, is a destruction of the image of God. I don't get too much into that part of it, other than just saying, hey, that's it. God's, you know, it's the devil's just destroying the image of God. That's all that is. But anyway, guess what happens? When Adam sinned, immediately, the Holy Spirit left him, separated him, so he went back to heaven. The Holy Spirit went back to heaven. He was around this area, but he was not in man anymore. Man had a sinful nature before he had the nature of God, because he had the Spirit of God in him. But now he has a sinful nature. And through that process, all the way through the Old Testament, what happens is there's three heavens, the third heaven, second heaven, and a first heaven, which is our area. But what happens was Lucifer became the prince of the power of the air. Where is a prince in a kingdom? The prince in a kingdom is directly under the king. So what happens is he came and he filled up the second heaven. So sin blocked man from God in the Old Testament because they had a sin nature. You might even say, well, where does that come from? You know, why you say they have a sin nature? Well, one thing is, when in Genesis 11, I believe it is, it talks about the Tower of Babel. And guess what happens? He says, let's go down and see what the son of men are doing. Didn't say the son of God. Said the son of men. Why? Because there was no Holy Spirit in men. They were all sinful. So he had to set up a law. He tried for a period of time between Adam until Moses to get them to work with him, to still be their God. But they refused. So they said, we'd rather have a king. So that's why they brought the law in. So it comes down to the point, and I've said this before, understanding the kingdom authority. Chronicles 7:14, I used to quote it time and time and time and time and time again, until God said, read it. And I read it, because we just quote scriptures. We don't always read them and know exactly what they say. And in there, see, in the Old Testament, you had to do different things to be able to get the hand of God to move, to get past the sin, because sin was blocking it. And that scripture, it says, you need to humble, seek, pray, turn from your evil ways, and everybody says, so they get their land healed. If you go back and read it, it says it's just to get your sins forgiven. And if your sins become forgiven, then God will move upon you. That's all the way through the Old Testament until we came to the New Testament. I said, wow. But that's what it's about. It's the same thing when they took and they had Daniel. When he took and he had the answer, God said he answered when he prayed, but it took 21 days to get it. Why? Because he had to go through the sin barrier, which was the demons that were right there underneath in the second heaven. They had to send the angel, another archangel, down to be able to fight to even get it through there. That's still going that way. So that's what was all happening in the Old Testament. Why? Because of sin. Now in the New Testament, and testament means covenant. See, the old covenant was a blood covenant through animals. And the New Testament is the new covenant through the blood of Jesus. Praise the Lord. Big difference. So God sent Jesus to earth to restore back men what was stolen from him. The Word of God became flesh and dwelt among us. Jesus was conceived by the Holy Spirit. That just blew me away, you know, because I'm saying, Lord, I understand, but, you know, down here in Jeremiah 1:4-5, it says when the Lord when the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Before I formed you in the belly, I knew thee, and because thou cannot, thou came forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. So in other words, all times before God, you know, Bible says, or the science says, the sperm, the strongest sperm fertilized the egg. That's how people get here. That's how you got here. You were the strongest sperm. All your attributes was in that sperm. So that's why you got here. That's what they said. So I said, okay, well, God must make that sperm the strongest. That's the one he wants, because that's what this word says. He formed us in the womb. We're not a mistake. No one here is a mistake. When you start to realize that God wanted you from the very beginning, that's his plan. He wanted you. He needed you. He had sent you. He's got you here for a plan and a purpose. That's what we're all about. We want to show you your plan and your purpose for being here, to help you understand your gifting and your calling that God has given you. That's according to Ephesians 4. You know, and so I want you to go ahead and just realize that this is what this is about, and that's what we're trying to do. And hope we get more efficient and make things even better yet. But by doing that, see, I said, well, why didn't you just put the, you know, Jesus in and use a man to bring forth Jesus instead of the Holy Spirit? He brought up one point. Men have a sin nature. If he did that, Jesus would have a sin nature. And if he hung on the cross with all those sins to take him down to hell, he couldn't leave because he had a sin nature. But because he was conceived by the Holy Spirit, he was not. Because there's a lot of people out there saying, oh, he wasn't, you know, about being hooked up with a virgin birth. The virgin birth has to be one thing, because then he has no, you know, he's got the Holy Spirit in him. He's born again. But the fact is, he'd had no sin. So when he could take and finish his job by going down to hell and leaving those sins there, he could come back out. That was what it was about. I said, I thought that was kind of interesting when I learned through those years what was happening. Yeah, so the wage of sin is death. And the Holy Spirit came and took him out of hell after he went that way. We'll get there as we get along here. Kind of lost my place there again. Sorry about that. I don't know why my mind just went kind of crazy. But Jesus was sent to destroy the work of the devil. What is the work of the devil? I was sitting there one time and it just hit me real strong. We always talk about it, but what is it? What is the work of the devil? What is he trying to do? What is he supposed to do? What's his job? Kill and destroy. To get us to sin. If you look at it, to get you to sin. He's going to tempt you, just like Eve. He's going to tempt you. And he's going to try to get you to sin, which he does. Through that, he comes to kill, steal, and destroy. And that's exactly right. But also, one other thing happened as I was studying this, and while I was in the hospital, I was reading some things and hearing stuff. They talked about how, in the Old Testament, how Abraham's faith was faithful to God. He says, I will make thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make my name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse them that curse thee. And in these shall all families of the earth be blessed. Now, God is always trying to make a way out. He's always making a way out. What he did was at that point when he's seen this, prior to sin, you know, the law coming into place, before the law was coming into place, he took and he set up Abraham to bless the nations. Now you have to get a little revelation on that, because I'm just putting it out here because that's what the Lord showed me, and I'm thinking, wow, maybe it'll make a little more sense as we go along. As Jesus came back to the earth to restore, just to restore back to men what was to God, which was the men that was stolen from God. He worked. He went through. He taught. He went around doing one thing, teaching. He says, "I have to come and teach about the kingdom of God." That was his whole process. He never taught about himself. He always thought about the kingdom of God. Kingdom of God is like this. Kingdom of God is like that. And he goes down through and he starts to work on the kingdom of God. There's a reason he starts teaching about the kingdom of God. Then all of a sudden, it got to the point where when Jesus got towards the end of his life, before they sacrificed him, there was 7 times that he bled. If you start to look at it, 7 times, you go back, I don't know if I can remember all of them right now, but I know there's 7 times, but it's not in my notes, I just brought that up. Because, see, first he was bruised. Bruised is the one that most people forget. That's internal bleeding. He bled in the garden. He had the thorns put on his head. He was beat. He had nails in his hands and nails in his feet and a pierce in his side. He did that because, see, again, didn't realize it, but you have to get a revelation in the kingdom of God. Jesus' body was bruised and destroyed for our body. That's where it comes down to. When I was driving on a truck one time, all of a sudden I heard Dr. Dina Dale start to talk about, he says there's 39 basic viruses that was known to science, because they went back and studied from the first stethoscope to the new, to that day. And they said, other than the names, but the actual the way each disease looked, it was the same as we have today. There's no difference between then and now. And there was only 39 basic viruses. And how many stripes did Jesus take? 39 stripes. Guess what he did? He says, every single one of those viruses are broken and destroyed. The difference is, if you get the understanding that his body, we are his body, they're broken off of us. We don't have to accept colds. We don't have to accept sickness. We don't have to accept diseases. You have to be a faith. You have to really have a revelation. Understand that when this comes upon you, you start telling it, it has no legal rights to you in the body of Christ. You are the body of Christ. Jesus already broke that legal right to you. The same thing with this thorns. I didn't know that. The crown was until one time there was a man that said Jesus walked into his room, and when he walked into his room, he said he's seen the stripes on his back, and that's exactly what Jesus said. He broke all those sicknesses and disease. But on the thorns on his head, I didn't know. He says that's all mental illness. And mental illness is under the blood. It is covered and is broken, destroyed. We don't have to walk in it. The problem is, that's part of the blessings from heaven. We can walk without sickness and disease. We just don't quite understand sometimes. So when you start getting sick, you say, oh, I feel like I'm getting sick. Don't say that. Say, devil, you have no legal rights. Get out and get out now, because my Savior took care of it back then. Sorry to say I didn't do that with my bladder. But I tell you what, it's cleaned up now. So glory to God. We'll just keep it going. And really, the sickness, the one I've been down hasn't really been sickness that much. There was a disease in my leg, but it hasn't been that much. It's just been because of my body and my knees being the way they are and not walking the way it should be. That's the biggest problem. But so I'm working on that one. But I just want to let you know that's what it's about. That's why Jesus came. There was a reason God has brought his son to the earth. Reason, all men's seeds have a natural, a sin nature. If God used the man, I already went through that. Let's see. I don't know why I'm losing my place so much. I'm jumping all over, that's why. Now, when Adam died, he died spiritually. I always said, if you eat of this tree, you're surely going to die. Well, he's still walking around. I thought he was dead. Well, it's spiritual. And if you don't understand the spiritual reality, it's just like what we're talking about now. You won't understand what's going on. See, God had this plan to restore back to us what God wanted from the beginning. He's still trying to get, now you still have to realize, all the way through the Old Testament to the New Testament, he's just trying to get his plan done. What is his plan? To bless you, to make you healthy, wealthy, and wise. That's all he wants to do. He doesn't want anything else. And this is what he's trying to achieve through all this, just going down through there. Forget about denominations and religions and all that junk. See what God's trying to do by his plan. Because he knew us before we were born. And this is what it's about. This is the plan to restore as he has chosen us in him before the foundations of the world, and that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. He had already predestined us as an adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of God's will. All God did was send, he took 12 people and he trained them up and he sent them out. And from that, everything has come from that situation. This is why, when you get down to the New Testament, it says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. If you don't understand the kingdom principles, you can't always understand what God's doing. That's one of the biggest things that I had to learn about. That's why we try to, you know, Chris puts on that the video about the kingdom. There's a lot of things you can learn about the kingdom. The more you know about the kingdom, the more you'll understand how the process of God, how he works and what's going on. Because in the king, what happened was God sent when I'm jumping over myself, I'm going to go back. The thing is, I'm going to close it up here pretty quick and just put it this way. God is trying to get the plan that he set put together. Because of the New Testament has changed. All of a sudden, what he did was, when Jesus died on the cross, as soon as the blood was shed, our sins were gone. I've always said, how can, you know, if you have somebody put $10,000 in your bank, and all of a sudden, out of that $10,000, what happens? Your bills are paid off. You only had $10,000. You needed $10,000. Your bills are paid off. No, they're not. You just have the money to pay the bills off. That's what happened here when Jesus had that sword in the side. The blood cleansed us from our sins. But our sins still have a wage. The wage is death. So Jesus had to go down to hell to pay that price. And when he did, because he had no sin, then the Holy Spirit could come down and pull him out and get the keys of the death and the grave. Now, at the same time, once he went back up to heaven, what happened was he ended up having the Holy Spirit was sent back to earth. And I really dealt with this a long time ago about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, I kept saying, about the kingdom of God. And the Holy Spirit is also the kingdom of God. If you want to understand that, you have to get a revelation of that. Because why? When the Holy Spirit came back down and God said, now all you have to do is ask Jesus Christ in your life. When you do, immediately you become a king and a priest. Revelation 1:6 says that you became a king and a priest. Guess what? You now have the Holy Spirit in you, and you have the kingdom of God inside. You know, that was the first thing I had when I started figuring out exactly what's going on. I said, seek ye first the kingdom of God. How do you seek the kingdom of God? I didn't even know how to seek it. I said, how are you going to start seeking it if you don't know where to find it? So I started asking a lot of good Christians around in the church that I was at, and I said, how do you seek the kingdom of God? What is the kingdom of God? Where is the kingdom of God? He said, it's in you. That's the Bible says. The kingdom of God is in you. I said, there's got to be more than that, because it wasn't satisfying my spirit. So I went on to start to see exactly what's going on. And I come to find out that, yes, there is more to it. It is your authority. It is your power. I'm going to jump over again a little bit to another different situation here. I want to say one thing. If you want to have people healed, delivered, set free, you need to get so close to the Holy Spirit. Because Jesus came back as an example for one thing, for us, as a man. We always look at Jesus. Oh, I said many times, if Jesus was here and I'm here and you need prayer for something, where are you going? To Jesus. Our mindset. He's going to get it done faster. I'm just a man. But Jesus was just a man. Because the Bible says he was anointed to preach, to teach, to deliver, to cast out. He had to be anointed to achieve that. He didn't really have to be, because he was the God, you know, the Son of God. But he came as a man. And he then waited, because see, when it came down, it was really blooming kind of way, because when they were at the wedding, and what happened? His mother said, you know, to listen to him. He says, I can't. It's not my time yet. I says, Lord, if it's not his time to do miracles, why is he doing it? He said he lined up with the word of God, honor your mother. He honored his mother. That was the only reason he did what he did. He wouldn't have done it otherwise. Because his time wasn't until he became anointed. When did he become anointed? When he was baptized. And the Holy Spirit fell upon him. Now, what happens to you? Are you anointed? How anointed are you? When you start to pray for somebody, who's going to take, is it your words that's going to change? I mean, the word of God is anointed. It's going to be the Holy Spirit flowing through you with the word of God that is going to touch that person and change them and heal them. That's where it's about. You have to become so anointed. You have to realize how important taking time with the Holy Spirit and learning. He's inside you. He's sitting there. Come listen to me. Come talk to me. I know all the deep things of God that's inside of me. I know everything about God. Ask me. Ask me. Sometimes we sit around, we don't know what's going on. Ask. Or I don't know if we're afraid or we don't think or don't understand. That's God's plan. He set us in a situation to give us the authority and the power. Would you put up, 1 Corinthians 1, as I think it's 9? What's that? New Living. Because I want to tell you. You want to read that, dear?
God will do this, for he is faithful to do what he says, and he has invited you into partnership with his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Okay, you got to go back a little bit.
What are you looking for?
Let's see. Okay, just go back to 9 and read from there. Go on to 8. I think it's 10 and 11 that I'm really looking for.
Want me to read that?
Am I? Okay, Ephesians, I'm sorry. I'll get it right, yeah. Yeah, it is, yeah. What's that? Yeah. There you go. Try that one. Go ahead.
Okay. God now has revealed to us his mysterious plan regarding Christ, a plan to fulfill his own good pleasure.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the plan. At the right time, he will bring everything together under the authority of Christ, even in heaven and on earth. Furthermore, because we are united with Christ, we have received an inheritance from God. For he chose us in advance, and he makes everything work out according to his plan. Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm.
God's purpose was that we Jews, who were the first to trust in Christ, would bring praise and glory to God.
Okay, hold on. That's enough. If you realize that God brought everything under Christ, in heaven and earth. Now, when he dies, when a person dies, there's an inheritance. Who inherited that authority? Yeah, we did. Do you believe that? You've got all authority in heaven and earth. How are you going to achieve that? By understanding the Holy Spirit and letting him teach you more and get more understanding of what's going on. Because that's exactly what needs to happen. That's God's plan. His plan was to bless you with all heavenly blessings. And by doing that, it's amazing what God is doing. Now, Jesus was hanging on the... Jesus, by hanging on the tree, broke the curse of the law. Jesus redeemed us from the curse of the law. In the old sin nature, Deuteronomy 28, it shall come to pass if you shall hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord to obey and to do his commandments, which I command thee, that day the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth, and all these blessings shall come upon you. And you go back and read through all the blessings. But in the New Covenant, John 13:34-30, I think I got that one messed up too. A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another, that I have loved you, so also love one another. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one to another. This is one of the things that the Lord had said many years ago. I was praying and I was reading the scripture about, you know, love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, all thy soul, all thy mind, and love thy neighbor as thyself. And he says, there lies their biggest problem with the body of Christ today. They don't love themselves. They don't know who they really are in Christ Jesus. They don't know how important they are. They don't know what's happening. And when you get that love of God flowing through, you can go and do things with people that you never could do before. You could do things that you never achieved before. And that was one of the biggest things that the Lord had said at that time. It just shook me, and I was saying, wow, yeah. But see, now what this is coming back with, Deuteronomy 28 says, if you do all these things according to my commandments, but today in the new covenant under the blood of Jesus, it's you have to love people. In the Old Testament, it was by a command, by a works. It was easier to follow that. You know, it's easier to an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth, that type of stuff. But to love somebody, what does it say? If somebody slaps you across the face, you know, turn the other cheek. They take your coat, give them, you know, whatever else. So it's love. It's a difference. It's a different opportunity. But when you start to do that, it also changed something that I've learned, and I'm still learning more about it, and I plan on learning more even as we go along. But it said that See, Jesus redeemed us from the curse of the law. And if you can get a revelation of this, this will really help you out tremendously. Because the curse was not God's plan. It was just the way of making it out to make it, you know, to help people get out of the situation they're in. He was trying to help them the best they could. But there was sin involved. So what happened is God sent his son back to remove the sin. Sin no longer is in the second heaven. When you pray, immediately you have an answer. It can come right down with you. You don't have to fight through the demons. Now, if you're sinning, the devils are over you. But it goes back to Revelation 12 when you start to say that there was a war in the heavenlies, and angels, you know, Gabriel and Michael fought against the devil and kicked him out of the heavens down onto the earth underneath your feet. Now, again, if you don't understand the kingdom of God, you're not going to understand how that works. Why? He was a prince, and he went, got kicked out from underneath the king down to this earth underneath our feet. How did he come under our feet authority-wise? If you have the authority and understanding, because you're a king, where's the prince? Under your feet. Unless you don't allow, you don't take the authority and power that you have over that demon, it comes above you and it starts to cause you problems again. And then you have to start saying, oh man, I got to do this, got to. No, you just have to realize who you are, your authority that you have through Jesus Christ, and put it back under your feet. That's what it's about. That's why we're walking in a new covenant with God. It's a different covenant than we had in the Old Testament. And our getting closer to walk in that is going to really make things happen. But I was amazed when what was happening was I was listening to Kenneth Hagin, and I guarantee if anybody wants to go back and listen and listen and listen to the being redeemed. Because what Jesus did, he redeemed us from the curse of the law. Now, what is the curse of the law? You went back to Deuteronomy 28 and what it says, it comes down through there. Anything from the blessing down is the curse of the law. Why? It was because of sin nature. Sin nature caused the curse. And from Adam's down to the new covenant, when Jesus died on the cross and broke that covenant, you know, broke the curse of the law, we were under that curse. We are not under that curse anymore. That's the redemption power. We've been redeemed. We were redeemed. You see, Jesus was wanting to redeem us, or God was wanting to redeem us before even got to the law. But that's why he found Abraham faithful. Because Abraham, through Abraham, all these blessings are coming down through. And the child he's talking about is Jesus. So Jesus came in and broke the curse of the law. So in other words, if you go back and you look at it, it says, I think around, I forget, the 26th verse of Deuteronomy 28, it says, and I will curse thee with even not only the curses in this curse, but of all the curses, because this is the book of the law. That's what we broke from. The curse is not there anymore. We are blessed. We don't have a sin nature anymore. This is the biggest problem in the body of Christ. We haven't been taught or trained. You have the nature of God. You have the Holy Spirit. You, and a lot of people, I've talked to people before about it, and they say, oh yeah, you know, we are the righteousness of Christ. Yes, you are. Because you've asked Jesus Christ in your life, you have the righteousness. But that doesn't mean that you're activating it. You haven't perfected it. You aren't walking in it. That's what we need to do. Because that's why it says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. That's the first thing a person, when they get saved, should find out. What is the kingdom of God and what is the righteousness? And how do I walk in it? Because if you don't understand the kingdom, you're not going to walk in the kingdom principles. Because the devil knows more about that, and he can trip you up and cause you more problems. if you don't understand, you know, his righteousness, what is the righteousness, how to walk in it, how to achieve it, how to get there, again, you got a problem. It says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. That is a commandment from the Lord to for this new covenant, to receive the Holy Spirit, to understand what's going on, to walk in it. Because, see, with Abraham's blessings, what he did was he made you no sickness, no poverty, and everlasting life. That was agreement that God made with Abraham for his children. And we are Abraham's children through Jesus Christ. Now, I've got into some concerns about, well, Gentiles and Jews. We're all one in Christ. If we've asked Jesus Christ into our lives. We can argue, can complain, we can get going, but just ask the Father. Ask the Holy Spirit. He knows exactly what's going on. That's why when I go down and start to pray with people, I like to pray in the Holy Spirit first. And if I don't know too many people, they don't know about the Holy Spirit, I don't say much. I try to do the best I can without it, but it makes it easier for me. Because I immediately know that I have the 9 spiritual gifts, and that is revelation. Knowledge. The knowledge is right here. And what happens is when I start to pray, immediately my spirit locks up with heaven. And I hear the words on what I'm supposed to say over these people. We were down there in Texas, or in Mexico, and the first time we taught down there, we had over 60 people, I think, up there at night. There was quite a few people up there at night. And we prayed for every single one of them. And when we got through, our friends that invited us down there, Deb and Louise, they're here before, they said, the pastor came up and he says, I've never seen anybody hit 100% accuracy on every person they prayed for. And I don't speak Spanish. I don't have to, because God knows exactly what it is. Why do you rely upon yourself? Why are you relying upon your own understanding? Ask the Father. He's in your heart. The Holy Spirit is here. You don't have to go up there. You just go right in here. Say, Father, show me, teach me, prepare me, get me ready. Humble, I'm going to humble myself. Not my will, but thy will. And watch what God will do through you. And you will change and start to make a completely different. That's his will. That's what he's trying to bring down. He doesn't want the old sin nature. Talk about the old sin nature. You can talk about it. You can explain it. You can go at it and all that. But why don't you talk about the new? What God has for us today. Why not send forth the blessings upon the people? Because God wants us blessed. So blessed that we are blessing others. He wants us so healthy, wealthy, and wise that we have an overflowing abundance going out across this nation. Amen. I said, you give me 10 people that have the understanding of what I just talked about at the last, and I guarantee you we'll take Des Moines quickly. Because we have authority over those spirits. We can bust them down. We can start to release the Holy Spirit, and you'll see what's going on. I believe it without a doubt. I know we've seen videos before in other countries. They only had 2 people, 2 pastors sat there, and they just started praying over the situation, started speaking different things over them. And they said the whole nation had, you know, that whole area had the revival. Wow. What kind of power do you have? We're sitting here saying, oh, we're ready. Okay. It's like I've said before, you're a king sitting on a king on a throne. Yes, it's on your own area. But you're a citizen of Iowa, right? Most of you. I was all of you. If you're a citizen of Iowa, you have authority over Iowa, spiritual realm. Not over the people, but over the spirits. Start breaking down certain spirits in certain areas. I said, you know, Chris, a long time ago, says, well, we can go down and start praying over some taverns and all their wine or beer will turn into water. Well, I agree with him. I think we can. I know there was a bunch of youth that was down in another country, and they took and This is the one gal we knew. She said some girls that they had there, they just went over and they said, there's a bar, so they went over and laid hands on, and they started praying over the bar. And these guys come out, what are you doing? The building's shaking. Simple. Don't get heavy laden with every burden that there is. Just be hungry for the Lord. It's like Sharon Bunnell says, the Lord told her one time, he says, I only want you to teach for the people who hunger and thirst after righteousness. She says, it's like a zipper. Just zip the head open, just pour it in and zip it back up. That's what happens. You need to be hungry and thirsty for righteousness. There's a lot of things we got to learn. A lot of things we got to understand. And if we can understand this about redemption, there's things we aren't going through, or we're going through, we don't have to, because we've been redeemed from it. We've redeemed from all the sins. And the revelation I got was this. God took us, and I'll put it this one more, it just kind of helps out. There was a prophet one time, it was over at Pastor Stephanie's church, and he was talking about how the Israelites came out of the desert and how they sent the 12 in, and two said that they would be able to, that they could take the land. And they were so discouraged because they did take the land, because everybody said they're giants and all that stuff. So they walked around for 40 years. Well, right there at that time was a time limit that God wanted something done. And what happened was immediately, boom, he said he put his foot here and he had two young men come up and stand there. And then later, he says, okay, you guys go sit down. And pretty soon he's talking about some stuff. And then he says, now, he had two older guys come over here and sit here. He says, and he put his foot down, boom. He says, this was what God wanted here. He didn't change his mind. It's the same thing over here. And he sent them in and they took the land. It was a time limit that was going on before it was achieved. God doesn't always work in our time. There's things right now in your life that God wanted to achieve that probably has not got achieved. Guess what? There's still time. There's time to realize that God's not changed his mind about you. He's not changed about what he wants to do for you. He's not changed. He's got a plan. You have to see the plan that he wants to love you and change you and help make things better. So this is what, I'm just going to say right now, you just have to really ask the Father on what he needs to have. It's kind of a stumbled along there, so I apologize on that. There's some things that, I just really feel when the Lord told me to speak about this, it's a very basic understanding. And if people coming into the ministry or coming in and getting saved could understand that basic understanding, God had a plan, instead of all the junk that we've learned through the years, it's so simple. God has a plan. He loves you. He wanted you before. He wanted you so blessed. He wanted to have a good parents. He wanted to have good siblings. He wanted to have everything. But sin stopped it. Twice stopped it. Until Jesus came and took the sin away. Remember, took the sin away. All the Old Testament, gone. Deleted by God. Because we're walking in redempted by the Holy Spirit. The same Spirit that left Adam when he sinned has now come back to earth and is in us. He restored us back to what Adam had. We should be walking in the Garden of Eden if you want to see it. That's what this is about. That's how simple it is. But we're so bound up in all this other stuff, we can't see what God's given us today. That's what we need, to understand the kingdom of God, understand our authority, and let us get totally trained up and prepared to go out and do what we're called to do, and many will be brought into the kingdom. And that's what God is waiting for. He's waiting for his prize, his people, as many people as he can get saved to get to heaven. That's what he wants. And that's what we should be wanting too, is get people saved. And also teach them and show them what's going on. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, I come before you. I pray that I did a halfway good job on what you wanted me to say. I know that you want us to rise up higher than we've ever rose up before, to do more than we've ever done before, to believe like we've never believed before, and understand your Holy Spirit is wanting to, he's just chomping at the bits to change us, to allow us to grow and prosper, and to be healthy, so that we can help others grow and prosper, and really do what you're calling us to do. And Father, to teach people about the kingdom of God so they can understand the principle, so that when the principle happens, something happens, instead of saying, oh my, the devil's coming at me again. No, he's not. You have the authority and power. He has no legal rights to you. You are the king. God gave you the king. He gave you the same authority you inherited that Jesus had. If the devil can't touch Jesus, he can't touch you. And even Jesus said, well, they killed him. But yet Jesus said, you could not touch a hair on my head if it was not of the Father. Is that what you say when the devil comes, when sickness comes, when everything? You can't touch the hair on my head because you don't have a kingdom understanding if you can't say that. And it's so easy to be down and out and everything just going along, son, and it's just kind of, and you're saying, oh, man, what's going on? It's just learning and getting closer and understanding more about what's happening. So, Father, we give you glory, honor, and praise. We thank you. We bless you. We ask that you bless each and every one. Keep us all safe until we meet again. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, amen.